Blog Talk Radio.
Andrew, how are you? Can you hear me?
Good. How are you? Yeah, I can hear you.
Good. I was just telling everyone to check in with me via Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter if they have any questions about Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center. And today, as we've been talking about for the last week and a half now, we have Ms. Andrew Walker of Andrew Publishing on with us today. So, Ms. Andrew, how are you today in sunny California?
I'm feeling good, and it's feeling good outside. It's about 75 right now. It's only 10:30.
Wow.
Yep, feeling good.
Okay. And that's the thing kind of got to remember, too, because that is a three-hour difference. And so I'm glad the show doesn't start any earlier right now. So, what are some of the things that drove you to say, you know what, I think I'm going to create my own publishing company? What were you doing at that point in your life, and what was it that actually motivated you to start your own publishing company?
Well, I had assisted a lady that I got a phone call from a relative. The lady was overwhelmed. She went up for prayer because she said God told her to write a book, and she didn't know where to start, and she was concerned about her education and things of that nature. She was very overwhelmed. And so my uncle was like, my niece just went through that a few years ago, and she now helped people with their books, and she's actually on her third book. And so she was like, oh, my goodness, can I have her number? So she did call me, and I did sit down and was like, okay, so what is your biggest fear? Or, you know, I was just trying to bring the anxiety down. And then once I did that, she was like, wow, that's all I need to do? I said, yeah. And so she basically, she did compensate, you know, she did pay me for it. And my daughter actually drew her cover. But, yeah, that's really, like, after I helped her and saw how God used me to basically bring her to a place where she felt like she was relevant. She felt like she, that's what, like, my spirit man was quickened, and I believe God led me to go in that direction. And from that day forward, I have helped publish 8 books.
Okay. So you mentioned that your uncle had mentioned to her that you had published a couple books of your own, obviously through a pre-existing publisher.
Right.
What are the names of the books that you have published prior to starting your publishing company? And then what are a few of the books that you've helped release aside from that first young lady?
Okay, well, my first book is called Why Submit to a Lie? And that's basically full of strategies on to help you get grounded where you are in Christ, basically. And then my second book is called Iniquities Must Die. And that's basically just getting people to a place to come out of oppression, that generation of sit down, shut up, I'm going to beat you type of mess, you know. And my third book is called Prayership, and that was a group project I did with some young ladies, and we basically programmed 7 days of prayer and fasting, and then those are like my top three books, and then the ones that I help assist with is a evangelist that's been around the world. His name is Earthquake Kelly. And one of his books is called The Dangers of Profanity. And then another book I helped him with is called Freedom for Your Mind. And that basically talks about things that bind our mind up and how it's in Joshua. And it talks about how these priests have sent these invisible snakes to go around these people's mind to entrap them. And and then another book is called what was that other book? Dangers of Profanity. And there's another one. Sorry, my mind went blank. But there is another one by him. But another book I helped publish is called Poems of Passionate Prayer, and that's by a young lady. And she just hit every topic, and she has like a little short prayer with scripture next to it. And that's what the whole book is about. It's just poems about any problem in your life, from your mother-in-law to your son to going into the military to, I mean, she just hit every topic. It was very unique how she did it. And the young lady that I actually helped, the one when my uncle called me, her book is called Don't Settle for Cheap. Know Your Worth.
Don't Settle for Cheap.
And
okay.
Yeah. And it's called Know Your, and it's, and let me turn that around. I'm sorry. It's called Know Your Worth, Don't Settle for Cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically talks about her story of loss, you know, how things shifted when her husband had passed away and how she got to where she is now. Like, she's in the will of God. She's going strong in God and stuff like that. So it's sort of like a testimony type of thing. But, yeah, so those are a few books that I wrote and then a few that I helped publish.
Okay. And would you classify yourself as Christian publishing or just a general publisher who happens to lean towards faith-based books or faith-based publishing? How would you speak to that, or would you categorize yourself at all?
Okay, I really don't know how to like direct that, because for me, I don't mind helping anyone. You know what I mean? I don't want to put myself in a box. But at the same time, I would definitely make it very clear that I operate from kingdom principles. And if they were to ask questions like, you know, what do you mean by kingdom principles? I'll let them know, hey, I have the Holy Ghost. I have a relationship with God. You know, I would explain, I wouldn't preach to them, but I would let them know I would assist anybody, but I'm only going to assist you within that bracket of, you know, because I'm not going to do nothing with anything that would not please God, because me, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. So since I'm led by the Holy Spirit, I take God as my CEO. I'm doing an internship right now, you know, so I wouldn't necessarily say I'm just going toward Christian authors.
Mm-hmm.
I would help anyone that respects that part of me.
Right. Okay. So how many years has it been since you've officially started your publishing company, and do you see yourself franchising You mentioned that your daughter did some illustrations for one of your customers' books. Is this becoming a family enterprise? Where do you see that going, like in 5 years from now?
Okay, so I actually been official as far as assistant people and everything this year, actually. I started in March. I have published my first book in 2009. And then since 2017, I've been sort of kind of helping people. But since March of 2018, like, I'm actually getting, like, fictitious name. I'm going through, like, the paperwork aspect to make this official. And then as far as 5 years from now, I do want to keep it personal. So meaning that to franchise, I would still, like, say for instance, if I was established something back east, I would still have my hand in quite a bit because this is my heartbeat. You know, this is my passion. I love to do it. So to let somebody else, they would have to have the same values. They would have to, you know, want the same things that I want from that perspective. So I don't mind, but to do like all over, I wouldn't necessarily say no. Same time, I'm a very, I'm weird from a perspective to where, as in, you know, if people don't have the same values as me, I can't be associated. And I'm not saying that to be insensitive or like I'm above anyone, but I'm a very unique person, and I'm very sensitive about who's in my space, or if my name is tied to something, my name is not being discredited, if that makes sense.
Yes, it makes great
sense. So as far as my daughter, making it a family business, to an extent, to bring her in, yes. She actually has done, like, I think 4 or 5 of my covers. I give people the option, you know, do they want a hand sketch cover? Or either I also can make a graphic cover as well. So either way, I do provide that option also to have your cover drawn, hand drawn, or either I can make, you know, do one with the graphic art. But yeah, my oldest daughter, she's almost done with her book because she's actually because she wants to do gourmet cupcakes. So I told her, I said, well, you need to write about that. You're young, you can inspire other young people. And so she's almost finished with her book. And my middle daughter, she already did one book, actually, with because she loves fashion. She could draw anything, but she loves fashion. And so she already did publish one book, but she's working on her second one, and it's going to be a graphic novel. And so that's kind of cool. And then my youngest daughter, she hasn't decided, outside of being a professional baby's daddy's girl, she hasn't decided yet. But at the same time, like you said, as far as family-wise, they do assist, you know, at times, especially like when I'm doing a workshop or things of that nature, they do assist. But yeah, for the most part, I think my middle daughter would be just the main one assisting with drawing the covers, though.
Right. Okay. That's cool. and that's something they could morph and change as they get older. Because interest
changes. Yeah, just trying to get
off. You never know how that's really going to work out. So that'll be interesting to follow.
Right.
So have you worked with anyone or how would you, have you considered, when we say it that way, have you considered how you might work with someone who has a disability where you can't necessarily have, I can't say that anymore. See, that's my mind thinking back like I'm in 1985. So
Uh-oh.
I was going to say, like, you can't have, you know, this conversation that we're having as plainly, but they need your assistance with their novel, getting things done, or their book, getting things done. Like, have you considered how you might go about working with people who have disabilities, especially if it's a verbal disability or auditory disability?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going in that direction. I have established a group that's called ACP Relevant, and it's once a month on a conference call. And then from that group, I've actually established a workshop, and I'm going to be starting a class. It's a three-month class that will assist people with the process of getting your manuscript done. And I say that to say, as far as future-wise, if someone has a disability, like say, for instance, when I just got back from doing a workshop in July, there's a pastor, 80-something years old. He has not bent toward computer. And so I had to sit down with him, use my phone, record it, type it up, and then I had to snail mail him. And then he reads it, write down what he wants. He snail mail it back to me. You know what I mean? But my whole thing, you know, regardless if you're still in a position, whether you can verbal or even if you can't hear or even if you can't work a computer, I would position myself to be able to walk you through the process. I don't put no limits on no one, because for me, I think of where I've come from, and then the fact that I know God has snatched me out of that and put me in on this path, and I know I'm in my destiny. I can't put a limit on it, because at any given time he could have said, give me my breath back, or when the gun or knife was drawn on me, my life could have been taken at that time. Or because of things I've experienced and seen, you know, I could, you know, my mind is not supposed to be as accurate as it is. So for me, I don't put a limit on anything. So if someone was deaf, you know, if they can write, or if there it was a way that they can express what they're saying, I don't mind going to that limit. Now, yes, of course, money would be involved, but money is not my drive. That never was my personality. My thing, and what gets me in trouble or disturbed at times, is because money never moves me. It's the person's heart. If the person's heart is in a position where they're willing, and that they know God, or even if they don't know God, their heart is still pure, I don't mind going to the end of the earth with them, because I know that God has done that for me. So I never look at it with a prejudgment. Everything that I say and do is from a perspective that God, I want God to be pleased.
Okay. So, you said you have a workshop coming up. Where can people find out about the workshops that you host and hold, and where have you held workshops, and what has been the nature of those workshops? Because it's my understanding that you do a variety of different workshops. I've had the opportunity to attend one of your workshops. And that one was called, it had to do with the Why Submit book, Why Submit to a Lie.
No More Lies.
No More Lies. Thank you. And it was in correlation to the Why Submit book.
Yeah.
And so that was an awesome time. And I know that weekend you were moving and you went to Jersey and I think Virginia also. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So it was Maryland, Virginia, Jersey, all in a matter of a few days.
Yes.
And that was like a loaded, like your platform, the information in that that you used was like really loaded for anybody who was like serious about trying to get to the heart of like, why am I still experiencing X, Y, Z, or why, what have I not considered, or am I even knowledgeable of what the obstacle is at this point. So that, like, that was like really a great experience for me. And then even like you said, you're very sensitive about who you align yourself with. So even the people that did decide to come out to the Maryland one, what I noticed was the spirit of those people, or even the type of personality that came across with the people that were there, like these are people who are just like, in general, like kind of like love life but no nonsense at the same time. And so that was like very interesting to me, because I was like, oh, okay, like this is a step up type thing, you know?
Right.
And I appreciated that. So like, give us all like an overview of like what your workshops are, because like we just talked about that one, but like what other workshops do you have? What topics are your workshops geared toward? And then where can people find the information about the workshops to be able to attend if they want to?
All right. Well, the No More Lies workshop, as we said, that was from my first book. And I'm going in the direction of doing a workshop for each book. On top of that, the one that's coming soon, it's going to be here in Sacramento on November 3rd, and I'm trying to come, or actually confirm a date to come back east to do the same workshop. It's called Relevant, and it's basically stemmed from the group that I established, and like I said, it's also going to be a class. It's called Relevant, and it's going to be November 3rd here in Sacramento. And then once I get the date confirmed for back east, I most likely will be in Maryland and New Jersey again. And so that's basically as far as my workshops. The main one that I'm going to be pushing is the Relevant one, because that's the one that gives you the nuts and bolts of how to get your manuscript done. And, like, because I'm a problem solver, God gave me that, because the experience with the one pastor, you know, with the snail mail, you know, it's like it has to be a better way, or, you know, get somebody that I can communicate with that, you know, would be able to use different tools. Whereas we don't have to go that way. You know what I mean? Now, do I mind? I don't mind doing a snail mail, but I just try to, you know, create a solution, you know. And so so that's my main one that I'm going to be pushing, the Relevant workshop, because that's going to show you how to do your manuscript. But I'm also branching out to the prayer shift. I'm going to do planning a workshop for that. And I'm also planning a workshop for Iniquities Must Die as well. And you can reach me as far as the how to learn of anything that I'm doing. Because of my books, they have a website where all my books are kept. You can purchase them. You can follow me, and you can read my blogs. And you can also, you know, find out what's going on with me and how and when I'll be in the area. And it's on Amazon.com/Andra Walker. And that's where you'll get all that good information. And, you know, and if you just wanted to, you know, email me, you could just email me. And that's at Andra, A-N-D-R-A with an S, publishing@gmail.com. or just give me a call at 510-852-9024. So those are like the main avenues to reach me directly, or, you know, to get updates on what's going on.
Okay. So we have the workshops coming up. We have the books that you already have available. Do you have another book coming out soon, or are you just focusing on other people right now? You do.
I do have some people that, like I said, like you mentioned, I helped three people get their book established and in the process of publishing while I was back east. So I'm finishing up with them because they're a little older. It takes a little more time. I do have some projects in mind, but yes, I am. My new book is called Change for Change. And that will be coming out November when I do my workshop here in Sacramento. That's going to be my book launch. And it's called Change for Change. And it's basically talking about, you know, that transition, that place where, you know, you make a commitment to make some movement, but healthy movement. And then, because what got me started on that direction was because, you know, with transients, you know, begging for change. And I don't know why, and one particular day it just kind of sat on my mind about the people asking for change. And I was like, that's ministers. That's the men and women of God. You know, we're crying out to the people, you know, change your life, change. And God just started ministering to me, you know, and it's kind of tied to, you know, just accepting that you cannot put new wine in old wineskin.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what the book is about. You know, you cannot put new wine in old wineskin. So, yeah, Change for Change will be, I'll have my book launch November 3rd, and that is here in Sacramento. But like I said, I'm just waiting for the confirmation date back east. But, yeah, coming to you in November, Change for Change.
Sweet. Okay, I'll be looking forward to that. Because, you know, as you mentioned, you're talking about the number of people that are out on the corner right now is, like, almost overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Every major stop, there's somebody there.
Exactly.
And I'm a person who usually gives, but I've gotten to the point where I'm like, well, who will I give to? Because there's so many now, it's like if I give to this one, I don't have any for that one when I get over that side. I usually see that one. And it just becomes this big thing. And so I actually just got to a point for a while where I just was like, I mean, honestly, even up to like yesterday, I just was like, I just can't. Like, I don't know who to give to. I don't even know if I want to right now. And it's not because I want to be selfish or self-centered, but I'm like, I'm back at the place where I'm like, I'm not giving money.
Yeah.
If I give anything, then it's going to be an item, and that will be that. And when it's, the items are gone, they're gone, you know, for the day.
Yeah.
And that's that. And that's how I'll handle that, because outside of that, it's if you have a certain type of personality, it can become something where you start feeling bad.
And
it's no reason for you to feel bad. I mean, because you did actually help somebody. You just can't help them all the same way.
And that's a pastor. And that's a pastor or anyone that ministers, you know. You really cannot help anyone. You really have to be led by the Holy Spirit, because you have some people that they're crying a pity party, and then no sooner you extend your hand, they pounce on you like a cougar, and you're like, oh, my God, what just happened? You know? And, and you're not prepared for that. So you really have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the same thing with people you give to, you know. You've given them a few changes, and every time they see you, they want to run you down. Or while you're there, they want to just sit there and just want to overwhelm you with this. But then it try to kind of make you get, like, bitter to an extent. Like, you know, you really can't get a job. You know, the devil trying to make your mind transition from you don't mind helping to from that one experience, it makes you treat others differently. And
right.
God really dealt with me about comparing that to when you're ministering to people, because, I mean, as you know, we have traveled since 2001. We have been traveling mm-hmm. the East Coast, and we left and came here to California in 2016. So for 15 years, we've been dealing with people that basically spiritually, they were transient. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're crying
yep.
out for change, and we're giving them change, but at the same time, they're going to the liquor store.
Right.
And for the transient, they're going to the liquor store, but for the people who are Christians or in the house of God, they're going to whatever their vice is, you know, that secret
right.
stuff. And that's what I'm going to be talking about. You know, we're looking down on transients, but really, if we were to turn the table, we have that same thing that got us sleeping out on the street, bathing out on
right.
the street, and fill in the blank. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's just me. You know, it's like dealing with the nuts and bolts. You know, Jesus is coming back. Like, I've been hearing that since I was a child. And I can, from what I've read in the Bible, we're more closer to Jesus coming back now than when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff that has been going up, that's been going on up until now, has led to where why it's going to be sooner than we think. Because, you know, that spirit of mockery is real. When that serpent said to Eve, "You won't surely die," when he said that, that spirit right now is still in the land, because anybody who's talking you away from the will of God, your destiny, or anything that is tied to God, if someone or a thing is causing you to shy away from what's right, it's that serpent that said to Eve, "You will not surely die." And that's where we are right now. And that, like I said, I don't want to give too much, but that's pretty much what
mm-hmm.
the book is about. It's talking about those people, places, and things, which are nouns, that is causing us to second guess what's right, what's the
mm-hmm.
will of God, what you're supposed to be doing in God. But, yeah, so, you know, that's what's over the land right now, you know. Change, you know, getting that confusion with change, you know, the real change, the one that deals with
right.
the heart.
Right. Yeah, because that's all I could think of, like, literally driving down Falls Road, Jones Falls Expressway.
Yeah.
And I was
yeah.
just like, okay,
yeah.
like, I have, you know, like, I've shared with you what's on my heart for my business and where I wanted to go. And
right.
the resources I'd like to have fully available, the housing initiative, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And all I could think of was, you know, Lord, when is this piece going to happen? Because part of
right.
it is for these people. And I'm like, but they just don't know. Like, they're reaching out for me, and I have to tell them no right now. But I'm like, me telling you no right now is going to put you in a better position later. Like, but you
exactly.
can't be that.
Exactly.
You don't know that.
Exactly.
But, like, I
exactly.
need to tell you no right now so that I don't
mm-hmm.
make this thing be prolonged any further.
Yes.
You know. So
right. Exactly.
For me, it's about building the discipline to say no.
yeah.
In
yeah,
general.
I totally understand.
So that tasks can be accomplished in
mm-hmm.
a timely manner and in the fashion that they are supposed to be completed.
Right.
So that everything
yeah.
can be done in excellence, you know.
Yeah.
But it gets a little frustrating, and you do have to watch that you don't step over and just become hardened.
Right.
Because if you get hard
right.
like that, then you will completely, like, just wipe out your passion and your purpose.
Exactly.
Because you'll start to look at people differently, period. you'll just actually cut everything off, cut people off.
Yeah.
So,
right.
And if you don't work for people, how can you cut people off? Like, that doesn't.
There you go.
Go together. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah. Wow. See, you just never know where these talks are going to go. You're talking about books and publishing. But this is also what I like, because part of the reason why you started the publishing is because you had a passion for people. And that is what's coming through in your writings. That is what's coming through in your development of your business. That is what's coming through every time you allow someone to have the opportunity to express themselves via, you know, a Word document. What do you find is, I should say, why did you choose the form of publishing that you did, and what key you makes it the most effective? Like, I know you like to use Amazon to promote people's works. Why did you choose that?
Well, for me, when I got my book published originally, it was through a well-known publisher. And the amount that they asked for, I was like, wow, you know what? God told me to write the book. I shared it with somebody. They left me, went to the bank, brought the money back. All I did was share that God told me to write the book. They went to the bank immediately, withdraw, and gave me extra because I told them the amount, but they was like, and this is for in case you need to buy a paper, in case you need to do it. I mean, it was a blessing. And so my point of saying that is, you know, God told me to do it. So I just went with it and went with, I researched a little bit and went with that because that what was available. But in the process of getting help, and what I mean by getting help was I was that same lady that my uncle told me about that was overwhelmed about her book 7 years prior. And so it made me sensitive because it was like I knew exactly where she was and what was going on. And so I was seeking help, but nobody didn't want to help me. It seemed like it was like some type of demonic, I don't know, but like I was asking for help. I offered to pay and everything. Nobody would not help me, like proofread, edit my book and all of that. So I was like, are you serious? So this was in 2011. So in 2017, I met this lady, and this lady said, that's the only thing holding you back from being at peace with your book? I said, yeah. She was like, this is good information. You shouldn't feel like that. And she ministered to me, and then she was like, I'm going to sit down with you and walk finish with you. You're going to be able to help others. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. So basically, the transition from paying the amount of money I did to get it published through a well-known publisher, she showed me or introduced me to another process where, yes, it is self-publishing, but you have full control. You have full control of how many times you want to change your manuscript. You have, they even, if you, every book you sell, you get a percentage. Once a month, you get a check or it gets deposited in your bank, a certain amount of money depending on how many books you sold. It's like you have full liberty how you want the cover to look. I mean, when I say you have full control, before you hit submit, you are at peace with the front cover, the middle, the interior, and the back cover. Like it literally walks you through the full process, and that's what built my confidence to say, yes, because when I'm talking to people, no matter where they are and their insecurities and so on and so forth, when I'm finished with them, their confidence is built up to the point where from the front cover to the back cover, they are pleased, they are at peace, whereas that didn't happen to me originally. And so that's like my drive when I'm helping people is, okay, I'm not moving from this place until I know I see a smile on your face or like I know that you feel good about your cover. I know you feel good about your interior. I know you feel good about your back cover. And that's my mission, is to make sure that there's complete satisfaction, because the one thing that will never change is word of mouth. And when somebody expresses to another person about the quality that they get from anything, it don't even have to be about me publishing a book, word of mouth is so powerful. That's why I don't associate myself with too many people and too many places and too many things, because that sticks to me more than outside of the word of God. That really sticks to my heart, because that I'm aimed to please people. Because, like I said, I was there, and that was a rough 7 years where I'm telling people, yeah, I wrote a book. Yeah, I'm doing workshops. Yeah, I'm doing this. But I didn't have that settlement. Like, there wasn't a piece there, because I know it wasn't previewed. It didn't have that editing, you know. And so that's why I take pride when I am helping people. And I tell them, I say, look, I don't catch everything. You know, so that's why I send it to you. So you can be the second fresh eyes on it, you know, to let people know that, yes, I do have an app, or, you know, I have tools that I use to, you know, put everything into place. But I also let people know, you get a second set of eyes on it, because I don't, if I mean, that's anybody, whatever your profession is, you don't catch everything, you know what I mean? So, yeah, so that's pretty much in a nutshell. You know, what got me here was the really taking the pride into assisting people in that vulnerable place, because in the graveyard, there's millions of dollars, millions of ideas, all because they never spoke it, they never wrote it. And then the sad thing about it is, just like our history, you know, it's all about somebody else telling your story. Now, who can tell your story better than you? And that's pretty much where I am right now, you know, just really encouraging people, hey, if God gave you something, or if God showed you how to come out of a situation, or whatever your topic is, you need to publish it, because you're the only one that can tell your story better than anybody else. And why would somebody else get the credit for telling your story?
But as you said, it happens over and over and over again, all of the time. And sometimes it's intentioned, and sometimes it's just there is a goodwill behind it. But at the end of the day, it's like, why couldn't the person develop and bring everything to the forefront themselves? Why couldn't they benefit from their own story? Did they benefit from their own story? Did their family benefit from it, if they are long gone? Did anyone consider their family? So all the things you do really take into consideration. I recall this last Artscape, this past summer, we went to the Parkway Theater, and they were showing the short story documentaries for free, you know, just to introduce everyone to the theater. And one of the short story documentaries that they showed was called While I Yet Live. And it was basically talking about, give me my flowers, you know, being shown or being given that gratitude. While I'm here to receive it, and not when I'm dead and in the grave, and I hope you know about me, you know. And these ladies, older ladies, Southern ladies, they all were people who made quilts, and so they actually end up being brought together, and they make quilts together sometimes, and of their quilts were so well made that they actually became art pieces, and they all ended up in this art book. And
their certain quilts of theirs ended up on display. You know, something they would have never, ever imagined would happen with their work, you know.
Wow.
And one of the interviewers, you know, they never let you hear the interviewer's voice. They just let you hear the response in those things. But the interviewer had asked one of the ladies about their work, you know, whether or not they had, you know, contact with it since it left them. And she basically was like, well, no, I don't know where it is now anymore, you know.
Oh, boy.
But at the same time, and you can see that it kind of made her a little uneasy to not know.
Right.
But at the same time, at least she had a physical book that she could at least go back to and say, this is me, this is my piece, and this is what it was at this time. But she really still was connected to that piece, and you could feel see that in her response.
Right.
You know, like, no, I don't know where it is now, you know. And it pulls at you a little bit. You know, it's like, even though they got some recognition, why doesn't she know where it is now? Why doesn't she know if it was sold again? Why doesn't she have a part in receiving the whatever part of the sales was from it going from museum to museum or from museum to private collection or whatever that may have entailed? Like, all of that went through my mind while I'm sitting there like,
exactly.
I know they gave them something for these pieces, like they were compensated for these pieces and they have their books, but where's the residual? Because that's like a buzzword that's been in the air forever, at least over the last 10 years. It's like whatever you do, try to make sure you have that residual income, you know.
Yeah,
so I'm like, where is their residual income off of their artwork? Like, where is it?
Exactly.
Because we know that it's being continuously bought and sold. Then now they have this documentary. What's going to happen with that? Are their children or are their relatives going to be able to benefit from their story now monetarily? Because they need money. They're happy.
Exactly.
And they're content where they are, but they still need money. Their family still needs money.
Right.
They're still in a rural community. That 20 minutes, but it made you.
Wow.
And it was in the summer, but it still has a very strong impact. And I can still hear them singing. And I can still feel their spirit. And there is such a gratitude that came through the screen. It was overwhelming. They were just grateful, you know.
Wow.
And that's something you can't hide. That's something you can't sugarcoat. That's something you can't create.
Exactly.
It's real or it's not. And so, it's just, you know, when people create things, be it handcrafted or written or baked, it's all handcraft.
Right.
It's so valuable.
Because
a lot went into that thing. Lot went into a lot of thought, a lot of feeling, a lot of care, a lot of pain, maybe sometimes. And people just want to be validated at the end of the day. So when you give people a platform like this, it gives them some form of validation. Like, my story matters. My story counts. I was here. I did live. This is not a dream. This is a reality that I actually had a part in, and now I'm able to share that and maybe, possibly, hopefully, encourage, edify, push, enable someone else to live a better life.
Right.
Have a easier time of getting through and making better decisions than I did, quicker than I did, hopefully. You know, at the end of the
You're
day.
Right.
And so that for sure I know is one of your goals, like I said, just from getting to know you, and especially going through that workshop with you, it's living a better life. And helping and encouraging other people to live a better life. And like you said, referrals. Why was there no one to be able to refer you to someone who could have helped you sooner?
Exactly.
Why
exactly.
do people hoard that information as if it's really going
exactly.
to affect them negatively? The more you share, the better your life is. I've never understood that. I've never been able to be a party to that because I don't understand it. I don't even understand it. I just don't. And I don't want to. That's not
right,
I actually want, I care to come to the point of understanding.
Exactly.
So, yeah, this is
yeah,
this
like
has been
even
great.
With that, you know, it's been people like I asked God, you know, like it did bother me, especially after a year, you know, because like I said, it was straight 6 years or 6 or 7 years. So the first year, it really was challenging. It was really like I had to snap out of depression. Was like, what's up, girl? You know what I mean?
Right.
And I, because of my personality, when I felt that I was changing, I went before God and I was like, God, what's up? You told me to write this book. Okay, I wrote it. And why nobody don't want to help me? You know my education. Like, I'm like the Moses, you know, saying what I'm not capable of doing. And God said, you're going to see. After a while, like that was gave me peace. He comforted me, let me know that I'm going to understand after a while. And then within that, yes, I've done workshops, I've done different programs, and so on and so forth. But now that, like it's like a transition in my mind because of God wanted me to see that everybody's intentions for me and the reason why they're connected to me was not correct. And so that still was a lie that, you know, I had to, I don't know if to say accept, but it still was tied to a lie. And my book, the book was called Why Submit to a Lie, you know. So I caught the revelation. I said, okay, God, I got it. And so basically there were some more nouns that I had to detach myself from because they were actually working against the will of God. It was God's will for me to publish this book. It was God's will for me to be at peace. It was God's will for me to move forward. But it took me 6 years of detaching myself and fighting through jealousy, fighting through antichrist, fighting through, you know, those 12 common spirits that are in, you know, the prayer shift, and they're also in Watching It to a Lie too. But, you know, it was fighting through each of them, one at a time, because it seemed like the devil was like, oh, you want to expose me? Well, guess what? You want to experience them. So, yeah, the boys came after me, and with the help of God and my husband, you know, I got through it. But, yeah, in a nutshell, when you are in your destiny, you have your own fight that you know, the wages of sin is death, you know, so things that we bring on ourselves. We have our own fight when we come to God. But when you're in your destiny, when you're walking out the will of God, it unleashes the generational stuff. And so that comes up against you. And then if you don't know about your generation, if you don't know about the strongholds, those vows, those covenants that your family had made, then all hell, as they say, is going to break loose in your life. And so I learned that, and within learning that, that's why when people come to me, they say they want me to help them with their book. It's not a story. There's not a tear. There's not anything that can be brought to my attention that I cannot, with the help of God, unravel and God get the glory out of their situation. Because
right.
I have personally faced, and like you've already experienced, those 12 common spirits, the only reason why I can elaborate, the only reason why I'm passionate about it is because I have fought one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball with each of them in some way, shape, or form. And it wasn't, like David
right.
said, I can deal with it better if it was somebody I didn't even know.
Right.
But these individuals and their task that was coming, it was from my household. Household
right.
witchcraft. You know, not my husband and children, but within my family. Because of
right.
the 12, you know, jealousy is real, perversion is real, lying is real, the dumb and deaf, although they're real. And it's not until you are in the will of God that you will, it doesn't hit you until then, because the devil's like, it's no different than, you know, the devil ain't going to go to the bar. He already got them. And that's the same
mm-hmm.
thing when you're not in the will of God. If you're not in the will of God, the devil's not going to fight you fully, because he's like, you already, you know, at any given time, I can influence you to do this. I can influence you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in the will of God, that's when all hell breaks loose, and you basically have to put on the whole armor of God and say, what? After all you have done, stand.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, this conversation has elevated even more. But you know what? I already knew, and that's why I told you from the beginning when you were asking, well, what are we going to talk about? And I said, we're going to talk about your company. We're going to go wherever it goes, because that's what
right.
happens. There's no one that I've had on the show that we didn't talk about the topic, but ultimately
mm-hmm.
there was something else that was more pressing on their mind, or whatever the case may be, still in relation to, you know,
right.
what they were on for. But there is sometimes some things that, as you speak, they are allowed to come to the forefront. And
exactly.
And be, you know, spoken of as they need to be. So what would you
right.
like to leave everyone with today as we close out?
Well, in a nutshell, you know, just discover what is the will of God for your life. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, at the same time, if you are over 30 years old, now don't get me wrong, some children, they have experienced more stuff than the average 50-year-old. But in a nutshell, within 30 years, there is something that you can teach somebody else or encourage somebody else or fill in the blank. You have a story, and you are relevant today because you are unique. God said we are peculiar, a chosen priesthood,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth. So basically today, my encouragement to you is just really, outside of being in the will of God, what is your story? And I do not mind assisting you with the process of getting it out there. Don't let nobody else tell your story. You tell your own story. And that's pretty much it.
All right. So thank you, Andrew, for being on with us today. We will talk back with you
yes.
in November. And to everyone else,
awesome.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.